morning, bud. Hey, I got this. Hey, good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We're about to get geeked up on B12. Hang on.
You're on one this morning. This stays out here, though.
Okay, this is sublingual. Yeah, this is sublingual B12. We're doing that this morning.
People have been asking us about it.
And it's a great product. And I'm going to take, I'm going to take a handful of them.
Handful of them. Be careful.
Well, here we go, ready? This is just.
What are you doing, dude?
I got.
That's a lot.
Well, it's water soluble. It won't hurt you.
Oh, my gosh.
Two, four, six, eight. Well, 10's enough.
10?
Put number 11 back. Well, it's not going to hurt you. Oh. I'm letting you guys know that the toxicity effects are zero on this. There you go.
Now, what's cool about these is they taste really good. They're really good. Yeah, you got to be careful not to eat some of them. I mean, a couple. They're good.
I'm chewing them up.
Yeah, I know. They taste really good. Anyways, you're going to be wired up in a second, dude. I took 10.
I've never taken 10 before. There's a minute to chew them up.
They're good. Anyways.
No, I was making the point that these are like food.
Because they're methylated.
Yep. It's like if I had a plate of peas, I wouldn't count how many peas I put on the plate. But I also want to show you that there's no toxicity associated with B vitamins.
It's also 5,000 micrograms per tablet, too.
That's nothing.
5,000 micrograms.
But I would never take, 10 vitamin D3 K2 unless I was doing it for a very specific reason, like with COVID.
And for a specific time period.
Yeah, right. But the water-soluble vitamins aren't bad. In fact, let's give you some health benefits of B12, based on science, no less. Number one. Helps with red blood cell formation and anemia prevention.
There you go.
It may prevent major birth issues. And this is an interesting one. It says it may stop help with neural tube defects. I think the folate's more important for that, though. May help support health and prevent osteoporosis. May reduce your risk of macular degeneration. Right. May improve mood and symptoms of depression. So my mood should be pretty good here in a minute if it helps your mood. May benefit your brain and memory. Well, my brain and memory are already doing great. May impact your energy levels if you don't get a B12.
Yeah.
Well, I usually get a lot of B12, so it's probably not going to be much of my energy levels. Yeah. But we'll find out because I've got the chocolate fit food protein here.
Well, there's already B12 in this. What kind of...
How many is in that one?
2,000 micrograms.
1,000 micrograms?
1,000 micrograms. Yeah, so we got five times that in one tablet.
Wow.
This is a lot. Anyway. Okay.
May support healthy skin, hair, and nails. And who is at risk of B12 deficiency? Older adults, people with gastrointestinal orders such as Crohn's disease or celiac disease, those who have had gastrointestinal surgery such as bariatric surgery or bowel resection surgery.
That's a big one.
That's a really big one because a lot of times you don't realize that these people who have these types of surgeries, they decrease the effectiveness and efficiency of their intestinal tract trying to absorb certain nutrients. That's why the B12 is sublingual. It works so well. You don't have to worry about all that. People on a strict vegan diet. Those who take metformin, which is, that's half the population now, and those for blood sugar control, and those who take proton pump inhibitors for chronic heartburn. Wow. And it says that basically it's water soluble, it can't hurt you. But I tell you what, though, guys, don't take the cyanide cobalamin.
No.
I would never take 10 of those. I mean, never.
Oh, gosh.
Never. I wouldn't even take those.
Well, here's another study that just came out. It says B12, a powerful antioxidant that combats dementia. They're directly looking at B12 as a supplement support for dementia. And they said essentially B12 is required for healthy brain and nerve function. B12 is required for DNA synthesis, so it's essential to the function of cells like neurons. B12 is also needed to synthesize neurotransmitters, chemicals that transmit signals between nerve cells. Specifically, B12 is involved in production of serotonin, and dopamine. Lower levels have been linked to dementia, and it goes into detail here on how they're looking at higher doses of B12 show a powerful antioxidant that reduces oxidative stress on the brain and slows cognitive decline. Multiple studies on this right now.
Should I take 10 more?
I don't know about that.
I'm just kidding.
I took like six. I'm already feeling it. Then it's tied into this other study that just came out. It said depression in children has been directly linked to low levels of B12. And D3. And so again, once again, you see here, the study involved 89 children with depression along with 43 subjects without depression service controls, and they found that B12 and D3 were at clearly low levels in pretty much all the cases of depression.
Anxiety? It said, run up. Look at this. Yeah. Oh, you moved it too fast. Okay. You got to hold it still. Okay. All right.
It says the volunteers competed testing for childhood depression anxiety at their levels of folate, B12, homocysteine, and D3. I'm going to slow it down. I'm talking fast. D3 measured here.
Are you on that stuff again?
I didn't take attention factor. Today. I ran out. I don't have any. My bottle's empty. So B12. Well, the attention factor has B12 in it, too, and the magnesium brain food in it. It's got everything in it. And so it also, right here it says, with vitamin B12 and folate deficiency, methylation processes are hindered and neurotransmitter levels fall. Also linked to B12 deficiency, there's an increase in the level of extremely neurotoxic metabolite of homocysteine. So B12 does a whole lot of stuff as far as balancing chemicals in the brain, reducing inflammation, and helping out with overall.
It's found only in animal foods such as grass-fed meat, eggs, dairy, and wild-caught seafood. As such, vegetarians and vegans are especially susceptible to B12 deficiency, and this is one reason why vegetarianism may be nearly twice as likely to suffer from depression as meat eaters, even after adjusting the variables like job status, family history, and number of children. Send me that link also. I got some people I got to send it to. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, too. Yesterday, I had lunch with a local pastor, and he was talking to me, and he said, Ted, he says, you cannot believe how many people in my church are getting divorced.
Yeah.
Now, I want you guys to listen to me for a second. This is really important. And I started thinking about it, you know, and he said that literally he has hundreds of people getting divorced in the church. And, you know, these are marriages with kids. And he said, I don't know what to do. Well, let me share something with you real quick. A lot of times this is because of social media.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now let's be real here for a minute. People get on the internet and they put pictures of themselves on Facebook and they basically are using it to troll. You think, well, I don't do that. I'm just telling you, maybe you don't do that, but people do that because they have a husband or a wife that they think is not that good anymore, so they want to try to find something. And then somebody posts a picture on Facebook that was 10 years earlier when they were 18 or 19, and now they're 28 years old, and suddenly, you know, they don't look like they did at 18 or 19 anymore. Now they've got, you know, three kids. They're 50 pounds heavy. They feel awful. They don't like their marriage. They can't believe their life has turned out like this. Now, here's why I say that. Avoid social media and those types of programs. I don't care if it's Instagram, I don't care what it is, if you're having problems with your marriage. That's very important.
Well, there's one thing I've always, and this ties into it, and everybody will know about this, I've never, nor will I ever have Snapchat. I personally have seen so many relationships start having spiral downward trends because they have Snapchat.
No, I signed
everybody
up.
Starts sending each other stuff when there's no history.
I signed up for that a couple of years ago.
I remember you did that.
And I had it for about 1 week, and I said, get this garbage off my phone. The stuff that people send you is unbelievable. Okay, I said, I don't want this on my phone, so I deleted my entire account. Now, secondly, I wanted to cover this. If you've got a problem with someone who's suffering with constant anxiety and mental depression and serious mental problems, you need to get them on B-complex and B12. Now, and cod liver oil, omega-3 fats. It's super, super important. If you don't have the nutrients that your brain needs, even 5-HTP is important, because I've seen it. Cecilian Roosevelt, medical doctor, wrote many, many years ago. She said that one of the primary causes of marital discord are basically blood sugar imbalances.
Yeah.
I've got a friend of mine today. His wife is going in for a glucose tolerance test. They had to schedule it so far in advance because nobody knew how to do it anymore.
Really?
Oh, my God. She had to schedule almost a month and a half in advance.
It's not that difficult.
And so she was having all kinds of seizures and all kinds of health problems. The crazy part about this is the glucose tolerance test helps to figure out how badly your sugars go up and down if you have hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia. And when the sugar goes down too low, what ends up happening is you get really groggy and moody and mad.
Yeah.
Okay. And when that happens, it's very hard to have a good marriage. And in fact, Cecilia Rosenfeld says that when they stabilize blood sugar, that many of her people who come into her clinic, she's a psychiatrist,
right,
because they have blood sugar imbalances, that their marriages get better and get suddenly they start appreciating each other. Because I know with me, I have a tendency that if I don't eat, my sugar gets down low. I got a real good pancreas, but it doesn't do a lot of this. But it will go low on me if I don't eat. I remember Sharon used to always say to me, let's go shopping. I'm like, I don't want to go shopping. And she goes, I said, I can't stand shopping. And she goes, okay, let me get you something to eat.
Yeah.
Okay, this should take me to a restaurant. It should feed me. And I say, okay, let's go shopping.
Yeah.
You say, well, come on, Ted, you really aren't like that. If my blood sugar gets low, I get a little grumpy. And Sharon knew that. Sometimes she'd say, well, Ted, would you like some chocolate, some organic, you know, 70%, you know, chocolate.
Cacao chocolate, yeah.
And I'm like.
We used to have that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Back.
We lost it.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, sure, I'll take a bite of chocolate. So, okay, now let's go shopping. It was so funny. But she'd always make sure my blood sugar was in a good position. Because if you're sitting there, like what I do with Sharon is this. I'd say, pick out 10 outfits. And she'd pick out 10 outfits. And she'd model them for me. It was great. I loved it. That's about the only way I could stand shopping. And then I'd pick out the ones I liked. And then I'd buy the ones I liked. Sometimes I'd buy one of them. Sometimes I'd buy more. I did have some boots one time. But I actually enjoyed that. But it was always better for her with me doing that if my blood sugar was stable, Austin, if my B12 levels were up, if my B-complex was up, if I'd had a 5-HTP, and I'd choked down some cod liver oil that day.
Well, and this is why I would tie it off with this. It says it's widely known that people with B12 deficiency are at increased risk of depression. It's scientifically studied lower B12 tied in with depression. It says, which could be in part due to resulting alterations in the level of DNA methylation in the brain. That's why it's so important to have the methylated form of it, not cyanide cobalamin form of it, because the body has to then go and convert that cyanide cobalamin form. And in most cases, majority of people cannot get a significant amount of B12 in their system because the conversion rate kills a lot of it off and it can't absorb
it.
Well,
no, the cyanide is almost impossible to convert.
And it says,
for 45% of the people, they cannot convert.
They can't convert it, right. And so it says leading to neurological impairment. B12 also helps regulate the homocysteine levels, and increased homocysteine is linked to B12 deficiency.
And heart disease.
So it's a secular effect. The B12 goes down, homocysteine levels goes up, depression goes up. You can't get it back up because a lot of times people are trying to take the B12 cyanide shots or the Walmart B12. I love the Walmart B12. Not only do they put no clinically relevant dose, it'll be like 0.5 micrograms or 0.1 micrograms.
It's awful.
Something stupid. And it's cyanide cobalamin. I'm going to Walmart. I'm buy one, get 10 free of B12 for $5. You know, I'm like,
Knock yourself out.
Let me know how that works out for you.
And then they call. I got to tell you.
It was so troublesome.
No, it happened once, only once. We were talking. We had given a supplement stack to use to help increase energy levels and feel great. And this person went to Walmart and bought it.
Yeah, most people know the story, but most people don't believe it's true. They think we made it up. I've had people say, that didn't happen. I said, I swear to you it happened. I don't lie.
The story's always the same.
That's true.
We don't change it. It's the same story. It's why you know it's true. You know, and they returned the product to us after 6 months.
Walmart products.
Because Walmart would not give them their money back after 6 months. They sent them back to us and said, you told me to buy this, and we want our money back.
I said, what money? The money just exists. There's no money.
You didn't buy it from us. We warned you not to buy this. Yeah. It's so funny. But it's a crazy story that happened one time.
But that's – check it out. If you guys are feeling a little bit of up or down, trying to stabilize stuff, make sure you're keeping your B12 levels up on it. But I want to give my heads up. So I had a lot of emails, a lot of content, people asking me about it.
It's very good for the peripheral nerves, too.
Really? That's interesting.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
It helps to regenerate the peripheral nerve. So it's just a good product all the way around. It really, really is.
It is. Absolutely. Now, also, too, in other news here, I had a good article coming up now, and it said the, so I've had people argue me on this topic about wireless radiation now, and it becoming so prevalent, and people are saying, well, it doesn't. It's been shown to be safe. I can have wireless radiation, the cell phones, and my smart AC thermostats, and all this stuff, and it's okay because, you know, the government said it's safe. Yeah, if that's your argument, go ahead and go with that one. We'll see how it works out for you. They said they're looking at this now. It says people need to wake up. A study of 105 babies showed babies in homes with high levels of wireless radiation consistently had triple the risk of development.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We've been saying this for years.
I know we have. And it says 105 babies in India showed that those lived in homes with high and medium levels of wireless, including Wi-Fi routers, cell phones, nearby cell towers, exhibited an average worse fine motor communication problem solving than babies in homes with lower levels of radiation. We've been talking about this for a decade.
This is why I pay to not have a smart meter.
So do I. Okay. So I have a regular meter still.
Now, but you know, let me share something with you. Just give you an idea of how powerful this radio wave stuff is. Many years ago, we were doing a TV show or a radio show. It was a radio show. I was up in North Carolina somewhere. I forgot where it was. It was close to Charlotte, I think. And I'll never forget, I had heard that you could go out by a Wi-Fi tower or a power line tower. These are power lines.
They're big ones.
The big ones. And basically take a fluorescent bulb.
Yeah.
And hold it up in the air with both your hands, and it would light up. You remember this? You were with me.
Energy.
you know, because just in the air. And so I had a light. We had fluorescent light bulbs in the motorhome.
Old school ones.
So I took one out in the motorhome, and we walked out into this field under these high powered lights.
Everything's buzzing.
Remember? And I took it and put it up in the air, and that sucker lit up.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And Austin was.
I mean,
we're talking.
You're not holding any power cables. You're not plugging into anything.
This is what Nikola Tesla said he could do.
Yeah.
And he would light up light bulbs.
You can't even get those bulbs anymore.
No.
They used to have mercury in them.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were toxic.
But that thing, that sucker lit up with light in the middle of a field with no wires to it. And I looked at Austin. I said, well, I had read about this, and I guess this is true.
Yeah.
And see, that's exactly something that you see in homes with all this Wi-Fi, because you can't see it, but it's there.
Well, you got to think about it, too. And it's a buildup, okay? Mm-hmm. So say you got a cell phone in the house. Cell phone, that's it. You know, you got some wireless radiation that's going to come off of it, but it's in a short wave. Well, now you got your smart fridge that's connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. And then you got your smart TV that's connected to the internet. And you got your wireless router, the 5G. You know, that thing puts off some serious juice. And then you got your cell phone. And then you got your smart, you know, thermostat. And you got your smart meter on the house. Well, all of a sudden, you keep this buildup of more and more and more and more and more and more and more Wi-Fi radiation. It says children are affected more strongly by wireless radiation than adults. Children have developing nervous system with higher water content and ion concentration. Listen to this. Their brain tissue is more susceptible impairment to the energy emitted from cell phones had next to their head than that of adults. About twice as much mobile phone energy is absorbed in the peripheral brain tissue of children compared to adults. You hear what I'm saying, guys? This is why I keep telling you, not only is the content and some of the stuff on these phones and iPads something these kids don't need to be exposed to, but now you're talking about that they literally absorb twice the amount of mobile phone energy and wireless radiation than adults do in their brain. This is why it's really important. If your kids are going to be using an iPad or use a computer, have them put it on a table. Have them set it up, because they're automatically absorbing more. So when you have a kid that's laying on the couch and they got their iPad sitting on their chest, or they're laying there and there's iPads on their stomach, they're absorbing all that wireless radiation right in their body. And that's what it says. Twice as much mobile phone energy radiation is absorbed in the peripheral brain of tissues of adults, of children, as compared to adults, because of their ion concentration, higher water content, is more susceptible. Be cautious of this, guys.
I'm going to say something here, and this is important. Years ago, there was this man who was a preacher, and I'm not going to give you his name because I really liked him. And Sharon and I actually met him way back in the late 80s. And he was a great guy. He did a lot of Christian TV.
Yeah.
And if I told you his name, you guys would know who he is. Most of you would if you watch Christian TV. And he died of cancer that started in his leg.
Yep.
And I can't tell you how many people I know have their Wi-Fi laying on their lap on their leg, have their iPad. Don't do that. You know, give it at least 8, 10, 12 inches away from you. Don't be putting this stuff right next to you. The amount of radiation comes out of these things is unbelievable. And if it's a pi r squared kind of thing, the further you go, it just kind of dissipates really, really fast. But you don't want something. You don't want a radio transmitter right on top of your legs like that, or on top of your head, or on top of your chest, on top of your heart, Austin, in the middle of the night. I mean, kids fall asleep with this crap laying on their chest.
Oh, yeah. They're all on phones under their pillow.
They lay on the pillow all night, and they're and then all of a sudden they get brain cancer, and you're like, what the heck just happened? You got brain cancer. You say, well, that doesn't relate. No, look at this study right here.
Yeah.
This stuff is bad for children, especially with neurological development, and it's bad for you too.
Look at this.
I mean, we all spend enough.
Higher exposure group also had the highest percentage of babies with emotional social issues, 11.5%, compared to the low exposure group who had 0%. 0%.
Unbelievable. 0%.
0% in the low exposure group. High exposure group had 11.5%.
This is why both Austin and I, when he built his home 5-6 years ago, he put his Wi-Fi router on a switch.
Oh, yeah. You did it. I did it.
And so what I do at nighttime, I turn that sucker off.
And if you haven't done that, if you don't have the ability to put a new outlet in your house,
just unplug it.
What you can do is you can unplug it, or you can also put it on an extension cord, or basically the ones that essentially are surge protectors.
Yeah.
You can have a long one. That way you don't have to get up. You have it somewhere. It's easier to connect. Because sometimes I know people plug them like behind their wall, behind their entertainment system.
Well, and plus you put a surge protector with it. You can always add a battery backup on the surge protector.
That's true.
And that way if you have a lightning strike or a flicker of your power, it won't turn off your Wi-Fi
either. Right, if you need it on for a specific reason. But that way you got a section on. You can walk over, hit the button, boom, it's off. But I've always told people that. I'm like, it's such a very, very easy, basic thing to do.
I don't know.
Yeah, there we go. it's such a basic thing to be able to do, and it makes such a big deal. Because why do you need high-speed 5G wireless internet at 2 in the morning if you're not working? I get if you're a night owl and you're on phone calls overseas and you go, okay, whatever. But if the whole family goes to bed at 10 o'clock at night, why do you even have Wi-Fi on all night? Just radiating it. And I remember we were having issues with one of the routers, and I called up Spectrum, and their infinite stupidity, they go, well, you can't shut the router off ever. If you shut it off, it's going to mess it up. I said,
not
well,
true.
Sorry, Buckwheat, it gets shut off every single night and has. He goes, well, there's these big spikes because it's working all day, and it suddenly goes off every night at like 10 o'clock. I said, yeah, I know. I do that, and I will continue to do that. Bring me a new router if it's messed up. This isn't my problem. This is a you problem, buddy. Okay, and they fixed it. And again, it's not my problem.
This is not a we deal.
This is a you problem. Fix it. And sure enough, they did. But it was funny. He told me, you can't unplug it or anything. It's going to mess it up. So I've been doing it for a year. So it's taking a year. So just plan on giving me a new router once a year.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. Mm-hmm. It was complete crap. They tell them that because they want to keep everything. Remember, when the Wi-Fi's turned off.
Internet of Things.
That's exactly right. It shuts off the entire Internet of Things in your house. So even if you have stuff in your house that has wireless connective to it, even though if you don't connect it, it still pings.
Like the radio, like your refrigerator.
Like your TVs.
Like your dishwasher.
Yeah. Still pings.
I had a friend of mine had his ice maker hooked up to a doggone. He could make fresh ice on the Wi-Fi.
He's a Wi-Fi. It's like the old Chick-fil-A. I should get the machines. I loved it. I got one. But it has for like $100 more, you get the Wi-Fi connected. When I said, why does my ice maker? Well, you can turn it on at times if you want fresh ice when you get home.
This guy loved his alcohol.
Yeah,
I always like to have fresh alcohol, ice with his alcohol.
I could care less about that. Why do I need my ice maker to be on the Wi-Fi?
That's what he did.
I know.
On his way home, he had turned on fresh ice.
The freshest ice possible, right at the top. Like, okay. It's sometimes people just have to stop.
And
so
he drank so much, he had heart problems. Because remember, alcohol basically washes minerals and magnesium out of the body.
And that's why I've told you guys, if you do that and you consume any alcohol, make sure you're taking the GHI cleanse. That is crucial. I had a customer, great customer, over in England. And she told me, she's like, I like to drink a lot. She goes, but I offset it with like 2 to 3 GHI cleanses every day. She goes, every time I get my blood work, every time I get my liver values back, everything's perfect. I said, well, I don't recommend you drink all the time. She goes, I know, but I do. And I drink GHI all day. And I'm like, well, at least you're being proactive.
I learned something about alcohol. It's an elevator that only goes down.
It does. But I'm saying is, if you are going to use it even on an occasional basis, get the toxins out of your system. That's why some of these products work so good, because they're some of the most effective nutrients known to man detoxifying the body, regardless of what you're exposed to. And we put them in high doses. Everybody that looks at our stuff, they're always like, gosh, the doses are so high. I said, yeah. He goes, what, you want to go to Walmart and get your products? You want stuff that doesn't work? I like my products to work. If I take my purple sticks, I want it to hit me.
You know, I know a lot of you guys or ladies are thinking, when's he going to fall over from that B12?
He's going to fall over. He ain't going to fall over. It's going to be a wild
one. It's water soft.
We're probably going to go hit the gym after this show.
I got to work out 11. Oh, by the way, speaking about you falling over, bless us, this is ridiculous. We talked about it some already this week. Military is preparing attacks on Mexican cartels. Secret orders target cartels inside of sovereign territory.
Interesting.
The Trump administration has directed the military to prepare for lethal strikes against cartels inside of Mexico. 3 military sources tell us. The top secret planning order issued in late spring directs North Command, NORTHCOM, to manage the attack plans, which are to be ready by mid-September. Why in the world are we? Oh, I know, because we have to control fentanyl. Though the U.S. military relations are broad and cooperative, any military action south of the border is considered extremely sensitive for both Washington and the Mexican federal government, and is rarely discussed in public. Not only is Donald Trump uniquely focused on the transnational criminal organizations, the official name for cartels, having been designated them terrorists with his first executive order, but he has shown himself to be willing to take unilateral action despite potentially negative political ramifications, says one senior intelligence official. He and other sources say the military action could be unilateral, that is, without the involvement or the approval of the Mexican government. And I'm telling you this, guys, there are going to be multiple countries in South America, including Venezuela, that we mentioned yesterday, that are probably going to be attacked like this.
Going to be drug into this. Well, the thing is,
he's supposed to be the president of peace. What the heck is this?
Well, a lot of the problem, and this is a fact, under the Biden administration, a lot of the cartels got completely and totally out of control in Mexico and other countries. I mean, look what they were doing at the border. I mean, bringing in hundreds of thousands of people as far as human trafficking in, and bringing in MS-13 gangs and everything else, because they knew there was no stop. There was no stop gap. Biden literally opened the door, said, come on in. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what gangs you are. And a lot of these groups are just, it's just pure barbarism. And there's no reason with them. So, again, trying to get them under control is one thing. If this escalates into Venezuela so we can control the oil, that's going to annoy the heck out of me because that seems like what we do all the time now. But, and also, stupid things that happen on a regular basis. This is the,
are we going to do a stupid things segment now?
Yeah, this is the gay segment. So, this here is Cracker Barrel.
It's not the gay segment.
It's the gay segment. Listen, I'm
going to they're going to go gay here?
Oh, no, she goes real gay.
Oh, great.
Cracker Barrel, outrageous conservatives with their new logo as the new CEO of Cracker Barrel, doubles down on 100% LGBTQ status with Cracker Barrel. They said, this is your Bud Light event. And what's interesting here, I'm going to pull this up here in a sec so you guys can see this. What's crazy to me is how some of these companies, they put these unbelievably just gay people in power to start making decisions. No, I'm serious.
Are we talking homosexual here?
Oh, I'm talking very homosexual. Okay, okay. No, and so here's you're going to love this. You're going to love this here. The woke CEO of Cracker Barrel changes logo after 47 years to make it more inclusive and LGBTQ.
Whoa. They're not done with this rainbow thing, are they?
No, this is the new basic my 2-year old drew up. So they're saying they're getting rid of the Cracker Barrel with the old man and the barrel in the old country store because they're considering it to be too racist and anti-LGB. This is the new
guy sitting on a leaning on a barrel?
No. This is the new CEO. This big lesbian chick right here. At least she's not a butch dyke lesbian. So they were smart with that.
How do you know she's not a butch dyke?
I don't know. She doesn't look like one. I'm assuming. I'm
I don't know. She got those glasses kind of give it away, man. I think she's a butch dyke.
She said that they're
She ain't trying to be feminine here.
No, she's strengthening the Cracker Barrel relationship to the LGBTQ. They need to put P on there too, the pedophile community. And so,
whoa, now that is subjective. We don't mean that on this show whatsoever.
Did I say that?
I don't think she's targeting pedophiles.
I don't know. It's pretty gay. They really ruined the logo. See, the problem that I have with this.
I'm correcting that.
Yeah. a little edit there. I used to like Cracker Barrel. I used to go there all the time. Back there, food used to be really good. We used to go there all the time.
But the problem is they use margarine in the back.
Correct. But before we knew a lot of that, I mean, I had really good memory. We'd play checkers while waiting on the food.
But they have butter in the back, and they will cook
they have
your
a ton
eggs
of butter
in butter.
The back. Yeah. They will. You ask them. They'll still do it. Yeah. But we used to play checkers. They used to always have the double-barreled shotgun over the fireplace.
Oh, that'll be gone now.
That'll be guaranteed. That's already gone. And I remember a lot of the toys they had. I really, really enjoyed Cracker Barrel on road trips.
I like that little genius test on the triangle.
Yeah, triangle. I mean, there was so much fun stuff as a kid when you go to Cracker Barrel. And now it's like they're trying to make it more inclusive. Apparently, they're removing a bunch of stuff inside, like the shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
They say it's too offensive.
Well, Harrison's got a little triangle. Harrison went out and watched that on YouTube.
Figured out how to do it.
So one day I'm in there, he goes, let's try to do this, Dad. And he goes,
down to one.
Oh, and I'm like, whatever, Harrison. And he goes, go ahead, Dad, you try. I said, I'm going to pass on that.
Well, no, Kirk, it's been a cool place. And so now, here's the issue I have with all this. What these companies are doing now, they're trying to make everything soulless and sterile. That's what they're doing.
No, they're trying to make everything gay.
Well, gay, but I mean, by the same time, though, there's no, look at a lot of the infrastructure. Look at a lot of the architecture. Everything they're doing is making everything sterile. It's just real, just bland. Again, trying to mend everything together. It's not boy. It's not girl. It's just homogenous. Woo, one big movement. So you got a guy with a barrel. That's always been the photo. They've had it up there for years. Now all of a sudden it's just going to be this Bobo photo up there. It's real generic. And they're getting rid of the shotgun. And they're getting rid of certain
toys. You know what's so stupid? That's an icon.
I remember it clearly from when I was a kid. Exactly. Everybody, you don't even have to have the name. If you saw the dude sitting there, you know it's a Cracker Barrel. It's like
Well, they got rocking chairs on the front porch. What this is Americana.
Yeah. Old school.
Now, listen to me. Give me this camera, Lana. This is Americana. This is the way America used to be. People sit on the front porches. They'd have some breakfast on the front porch, drink a cup of coffee on the front porch.
Yeah, grits and oatmeal.
Be in a rocking chair on the front porch, and their family would be sitting on the front porch, or they'd be inside looking out the window, you know, and then go out and sit on the front porch, have a cup of coffee.
It's got the fireplace inside.
No, it's supposed to be Americana. And, you know, and you'd go in here and you see a cross-section of Americana.
Yeah.
You see every age group, every demographic, but I never really remember seeing a bunch of gays. I don't remember seeing that.
You're not being weird, but you're right.
I haven't seen guys walk in with pink hair and all kind of weird stuff wearing princess bracelets. I've never seen that at Cracker Barrel.
I've never seen that Cracker Barrel.
No.
You're right.
I mean, it's more of just cross-section of America.
Of real America.
Of real people. In a real section having, you know, real old-fashioned food, grits and eggs.
Yeah.
With biscuits. Great biscuits, by the way.
Biscuits are great.
But here's the problem. That's not what she wants.
Yeah.
Because it's not inclusive enough for her demographic.
So now you have this super sterile, generic photo. This is the new sign that's going to be up there now. Just real generic.
After 47
years. 47 years. And that's why I'm covering this, because it's not that the signage is changing the whole mantra. It's that I guarantee you everything behind the scenes at Cracker Barrel is changing to remove exactly what you just said.
Well, they don't want Americana.
Americana,
because remember, Americana means a nuclear family. Americana means you're going to have a group of people there that are going to be talking and saying, hey, look.
And grandma and granddad and dad and kids.
I used to have a shotgun like that when me and grandpa used to go out and go hunting.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look at the fireplace. Let's have a fireplace. You know, oh, wow, look at this. This reminds me of what it used to be like at grandma's house.
See, if I decided I wanted to tie in with Cracker Barrel and be CEO, I would make sure I would put in the budget that every Cracker Barrel got at least a replica M107A1 50 cal Barrett above the fireplace.
That's a nice weapon.
That's what I would say. Even generic. I'd call it Barrett firearms.
Even plastic could be fun.
Yeah, it could be. That's what I'm saying. It's just a mold of it.
With a bipod.
I don't need anybody coming with a live mag. I got one. No, it just doesn't work. I mean, that was a little side note. It was a joke. But the thing is, like you said, you're right, though. The rocking chairs, everything. That's what it was.
No, it was grandma.
Because there's really no restaurants like this anymore.
But here's the problem, though. Now, think about it from her standpoint, from her Butch Dyke lesbian standpoint, if she indeed is a Butch Dyke lesbian. She doesn't want that demographic anymore. That demographic that used to go to Publix or to the Cracker Barrel, they're dying.
Yeah.
They don't exist anymore.
She's trying to go for this inclusive.
Because what happens is the people that were going to grandpa and grandma's house out in the country, sitting on the front porch. You know, when we bought that little piece of property up there in North Carolina, it was an old farmhouse.
Yep.
It was 100 years old. It had an 8-foot deep porch on. It had rocking chairs on. It had a screen door. The place was termite infested. But it had all that, right?
it served the test of time for a while, though.
It had been 100 years.
Yeah,
it was 100 years. And, I mean, the whole back of the house had fallen off because of the termites. It was being held up like with termite paste. And the crazy part about it was that was old-time nostalgia. North Carolina, old-time Tar Heel, all of it there, you know, in the field, you know, with all the animals, you know, with the chicken coop, with the fighting rooster cages.
Yeah,
they were fighting rooster cages with the old still house.
Not advocating rooster fighting, but
there was a still house there where they used to make moonshine.
Yeah.
You know, back in Prohibition.
190 corn.
Oh, it was there. It was there. Now, of course, that was long since not been used for that. But, you know, but the point was, it was still there.
Yeah.
In fact, we liked the still house so much. It was like 10 by 10. We actually covered it in hardy board and put new roofing on it and fixed it.
Yeah.
And then we had it all painted so it looked like it was still old. And so it's still there.
It's still there.
You know, and then Sharon called it the she shed.
Yeah.
She loved that little thing. Yeah. It was right by a little stream. It was great.
That's part of the problem.
And that's where they used to get the water to run the alcohol.
That was
so funny.
That was the time of America, though.
Well,
man.
No, that was the time. See, she doesn't want that memory there.
Yeah.
She doesn't want people to remember. What is that, Grandpa? Oh, that's the way it used to be. No, they don't want that. They want to pay homage, and I'm not sure if she's a Kabbalist or not. Probably not. But the Kabbalists want to pay homage to their snake god. So this is the crazy part about all of this. If we understand what's going on and who these people are, then we start to realize very quickly that this is not something that's good for Americana. But from a marketing standpoint, in 50 years from now, it may not be bad because nobody's going to remember
that's true. Nobody's going to remember what it used to be if you delete everything.
Yeah, and that's what they do. And to the victors go to the history books. Yeah. And so the history books suddenly get all changed. Speaking of history books, let's talk about Netanyahu for a second.
Oh, God, what is he doing now?
Oh, here we go. Liberal Zionists are speaking out against Netanyahu as ethnic cleansing of Gaza accelerates. This is interesting. Liberal Zionists are taking steps to distance themselves from Israel's starvation campaign in Gaza by trying to blame Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for all the wrongs being committed, even though his ethnic cleansing plan enjoys widespread public support in Israel. Fanatical Zionist Barry Weiss last week highlighted the growing hunger crisis in Gaza. The price of flour shows the hunger crisis in Gaza. You know, it's just unbelievable how sad this is. John Stewart on Monday interviewed Peter Breinhardt and argued that Netanyahu is putting the likelihood of surviving Jewish state at much more risk because of his war in Gaza. He suggested the people of Israel don't actually support Israel's genocidic ethnic cleansing starvation campaign.
I think that's probably true. Mm-hmm. A lot. Most of them don't.
He does. Senate Democrats who've cheered on enthusiastically funded Israel's war for nearly 2 years are now suddenly calling Trump to intervene and stop the Netanyahu government from killing and starving everybody in Gaza.
Well, they said they're pushing 60,000 troops into Gaza City now for the final invasion.
Oh, yeah.
And the more people I start talking to now, the more people I realize, even people that are Jewish, don't even want to be involved.
Senator Bernie Sanders, dual Israeli citizen, says, yeah. He even says this: the Netanyahu government's extermination of Gaza intensifies. Malnutrition is rampant. Children are starving to death. People are shot while waiting for meager food rations. Jeez. And the U.S. weapons allow it to happen.
That's what Bernie said?
That's what Bernie said. Truth in Congress must act now. Stop the slaughter. Feed the people. You know what's funny about this? You know, Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary Clinton, if you guys remember. And then suddenly somebody put a beat down on that boy. He shows up with a big...
They broke
a old black eye. Yeah. Somebody put a beating on him, let him know, hey, you ain't going to do this. Now, so this is interesting.
Way down,
now, he's coming back now. See, I thought Bernie Sanders was okay. I know he's got a bunch of weird stuff in his past. I got that. But from a liberal Democratic standpoint, he made some good points, and he was a whole lot better than Hillary Clinton was,
yeah.
Period. I'll say that about him right now. But now he, as a dual Israeli citizen, is coming out and saying stop. Now, here's what he understands. It's called anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Let's have a reality check here for a second. Okay, if all of a sudden the Jews start killing everybody over there, and everybody starts seeing these children starving on national TV,
that's bad for business.
It's
bro.
Bad for Jews.
Yeah,
if you're Jewish, you know I'm telling you the truth.
That's bad for any demographic. Okay. Dude.
Look what happened to the Germans with the Jews in the concentration camp. It was bad for Germans. All right. You know, and when you have a bunch of Jews now killing a bunch of Palestinians and a bunch of Arabs and Christians and starving them and shooting them in food lines.
Shelling Catholic churches.
Yeah, it's bad for business. And what it does, it creates more and more anti-Semitism. The other day I was watching this preacher, and I should have saved it. Somebody sent me the link. And he was sitting there, and he was screaming, this preacher, the Zionist preacher,
yeah.
Christian man. Zionist preacher screaming, we got to drop a missile on the Dome of the Rock. We've got to wipe out Gaza. We've got to kill them all. This is Christian. Because we've got to build that third temple so we can get Christ to come back. And I thought to myself, well, as much as I dislike him, at least he's telling the truth. And he was fervent. He was angry. He was yelling. He was screaming. He was running around hollering.
You can't say something like that loosely. Like,
no.
I'm
pretty sure it was that one guy that you know who basically had his gym closed down who posted that, or one of the other guys.
Oh, was it?
There.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but I couldn't believe it. And see, it's the Christian Zionism, the Christian Zionists that have allowed this to happen because it has forced the majority of the people in the United States to accept the Christian Zionism and accept the rebuilding of the Third Temple as part of the end times and accept the fact that they have to support Israel, they believe, which is not true, no matter what they do. It's because of the Scofield Reference Bible. It was all orchestrated through Samuel Untermeyer in the early 1900s, you know, with Scofield. And he pushed it to the Oxford Press and gave them to all the universities to put this lying teaching and lying thought into the university systems to basically plant the seed of Zionism and the rebuilding of the Third Temple and the rebuilding of Israel into the Christian circles. It was never taught at all for the first 1850 years after the resurrection of Christ. It never was taught to anybody. In fact, Martin Luther has come out and said a lot of stuff in the writings that he had as far as what's going on over there, as far as the Jews and the persecution of Christians and everything else, even in the 1600s. So Bernie Sanders understands, and people yeah. need to understand who are Jewish. You kill women and children, and it gets on national news, it's going to have a real problem for you as far as public relations.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, so I have to admit, this is a big deal. And so the liberal Zionists, like Bernie Sanders, are now even speaking out against Netanyahu. So the problem is, until somebody actually comes in and stops this, until we stop giving them, the $87 million a day
yeah.
and supplying them with all the weapons. Remember what happened when they decided to attack Iran? They got their butts handed to them. Because all of a sudden, the Iron Dome didn't work when a bunch of missiles were dropping on them. And now they got to rearm. Iran's rearming, and now they're saying that whole thing's going to start back up again before the end of the year, and I hope it does not. What a mess.
Speaking of police state, remember I told you guys in the BBB bill, there was $5 or $10 billion that was allocated for law enforcement for additional, you know, basically surveillance to make sure we could stop illegals, and another $5 or $10 million for ICE or billion. Well, I told you guys when all that happened, Flock, which has gotten numerous government contracts through law enforcement, and I told you guys recently, too, this new super speeder law that FHP has capitalized on where they're arresting everybody at any point in time they can if it goes over a single-digit mile per hour that they deem so, so they can get more of that contract money from the grant money. Surveillance company Flock has now reported they're going to use AI to report to police if they think movement patterns are suspicious now. If they're suspicious. This is the level of, that they're going with this now. They're not
pre-crime.
Not just tag readers, which they've been doing that for years with the Flock. They're now using AI so they basically go into watch vehicles and police find out more specific vehicle interests using the system to generate suspicion in the first place. Mm-hmm. The company's cameras are no longer just recording comings and goings. They're now using AI, what we long warned against, the system to actively evaluate each vehicle to make a decision whether it should be reported to law enforcement as a potential participant in crime. The first press release touting the expansive AI and data analyst tool set for law enforcement, the company announced its new several capabilities that it now has the ability to report any type of suspicious behavior. And then you're going to take to the next level. This one shook me today. I read this morning. I did not realize they're doing this. Meanwhile, police around the nation expanding on the use of surveillance machinery. Listen to this, guys. Flock is expanding the power of system itself. The company is now planning to plug its systems into commercial data brokers. You see what I just said? Flock, which is a big AI system with cameras all around the country, they have them on vehicles, they have them on the sides of streets, they have them at red lights. They're now going to start taking their data and plugging it into commercial data brokers. This will offer services such as people lookup. When you go in, I want to do a data search on somebody. They're going to start selling all the AI data, all the recordings, all the analysts, all the reports to data brokers now. Flock has long claimed their license plate readers don't collect personal identifiable information, as if license plates can be easily connected to specific people. Their claim was bogus. With their new product, they will basically be boasting the new product to let police jump from LPR to person and now selling the information to commercial data brokers in a massive multi-billion dollar deal. So now, you want to do a personal lookup, your phone number, your social, to see what they're doing. Now, LPR is going to say, do you want to upgrade this for a $49 fee? Oh, now we've got 15 different images of that vehicle and that tag and that tied into that person traveling here and here and here at this intersection at this place, recorded at this house here and here and here. They're about to allow full AI surveillance to be opened up on data brokers now for billions upon billions of dollars.
Let me give you an example.
That's out of control.
This is real time. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I have a person that I know that apparently had a son who got involved in basically robbing someone. I'm not going to use any names here. It's a terrible situation. It's still going on, so I'm not going to mention any names or any specific details. And the police, when they did the investigation, they pulled up the tag of this car in that vicinity, in that neighborhood, and they tracked it repeatedly through the camera systems
all the way back
in Weir Haven, where it came from. They tracked it all
from house to house, city to city?
City to city. They had it all fully tracked. Now, what it's telling us here is this. Now, mind you, let me say this. Let's say it this way. I'm going to say this again. This is super important. If you are on a dating app, don't you ever give out your real cell phone number. There's too much stuff. You've seen it right here.
Yeah.
There's too much stuff that's linked to your cell phone. Some people can actually hack into your cell phone. They have that kind of technology. Plus, they have an idea of where you live, where you go, and what you do. Don't do it. Use WhatsApp or something like that.
The problem is all this data is going on the open market now with brokers.
Well, no, let me say something. A lot of people do weird stuff. Now, I don't do this, but a lot of people go out and get drunk on a regular basis. Okay? It's going to show you went to that bar.
That's true.
A lot of people, I hate to say it, go to strip clubs.
Yeah.
Which, that's something that you shouldn't ever do.
It's going to show your real-time location all the time.
It's going to show you where you go. It's going to show whoever's doing a data log on you where you go, what you do.
How long you're there for. And what it's saying is now, too, this is the crazy part. It says it's going to tie in vehicles with other vehicles are consistently around.
That's what happened with this other girl.
They're going to tie you in. So if you're associated with your friend that's also doing this or doing that or doing this, they're going to tie the vehicles in on a regular basis. Say, he's at this place, this vehicle on a regular basis.
So
this is a bad thing to talk about, and it should never happen. So if a husband or a wife is running around with their spouse, it's going to show it because it's going to be at the other person's house or at a hotel. This is going to be interesting.
Because here's the issue with this, though, is while they're saying it's to vent crime, and I guess there's pre-crime status to it now, what happens if it's to look up political dissonance or somebody that doesn't support a certain party?
Or went to a certain rally.
Mm-hmm. Or they basically put stuff on Facebook that basically they don't like.
Remember that they did that. They did that in January the 6th. Exactly, they went out and did tag readers everywhere to find out who was here at this rally.
Millions of people got scanned with that because DC's covered in cameras.
Yep.
Covered. I mean, it's a blanket of cameras.
So now they're building AI centers that cover square miles.
Right.
And they burn huge amounts of electricity.
What happens is the AI centers are able to analyze and pull full data analysis in real time.
Yes.
Real time. Oh, he's traveled here right now. He's currently this location. This is where he's been at this point for the last 30 days. Every single location. Here's what he's
done. Will Smith and Gene Hackman did a movie on this one time. And this movie's 30 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And they were being tracked by satellites.
Real time.
In real time. And Gene Hackman kept saying, don't look up.
You already said that.
Because they will see your face with a satellite.
Yep.
But now they don't need satellites anymore.
No, that's a creepy point.
And I remember we had a neighbor, Dan, down the street. He used to install facial recognition cameras on interstates.
Yep.
And now they're everywhere in Florida.
Yeah.
They can watch you in real time. There was a reason they did this. None of this stuff happened by accident. It was all pre-planned.
Well, it's
decades.
Too much
decades.
Infrastructure. You got to put it in.
And now here's another interesting chart. Young adults' personalities are changing with conscientiousness in free fall. Relative change in strength of different personality traits, 2014 to current today. And here's what's happening. Conscientiousness has fallen by almost 50%. They're no longer conscientious.
Yeah.
They have gone up by almost 50% being neurotic. This is why the use of Xanax and other types of prescription psychiatric drugs and benzodiazepines is off the chart because of neuroticism. Agreeableness has dropped through the floor. All they want to do is argue all the time because they become internet warriors and they think they're Google geniuses.
It's true.
And they don't realize that a lot of the information they're picking up on Google is a total lie. Extroversion, in other words, going out and wanting to be with people and talk to people, down by almost 50%.
50?
Hmm? And the crazy part about all of this stuff, when you look at it, you say, wait a minute, this is awful. That's because people can't relate to people any longer because they're online constantly doing what they do and not having real interaction with real people. This is what's going to happen, too, with the Google Glass, what do they call them, the Apple Glasses or whatever they are?
Oh, the virtual reality.
Virtual reality.
Yeah.
There'll be
augmented virtual reality.
Within 100 years, you're going to not even know if you're in real time or this time when you have those goggles on.
Yeah.
It's going to be that advanced. You could be living in a fabricated reality. You think, well, that won't be possible. Well, they got to do something with the masses because they won't need them to work anymore because AI is going to build a robot that's going to do all the chores. So what are the masses supposed to do? Sit around and be bored and cause problems? Or are we going to go like the Matrix did?
Keep them distracted.
Put us in the cubicles, let us live there and produce the energy to feed the AI. Since the AI basically drags so much energy out of this infrastructure all the time.
Well, I brought that article up last week now. It's all these areas around the country, especially in Texas, they've all been protesting these doggone AI data centers because they're sucking up all the water. That one area, they said they're using up like four times what the entire city does as far as water supply every year. Four times.
Yeah.
This one AI data center. They said they're trying to make it more. I'm like, wait. How do we go from everything's got to be green, we all need to drive electric and run around like a bunch of weirdos, and everything's got to be so green and EPA friendly. Now we've got data centers that are sucking up four times the water supply of the next major city next to them, and that's okay to cool the systems down because the cells get so hot? Well, which one is it? You're supposed to be green and drive an electric car?
But you think about what I just said about the Matrix.
Yeah.
They had human beings in cubicles producing energy to feed the machines.
Yeah. Well, that was the reality they put them in.
Yes.
But as far as they were called, what's called a copper top.
Yeah, because they were batteries. And they were put into a state in which they were living in this fake reality.
Yeah.
But the only reason they were even being kept alive was to feed the machines with the energy. Their
AI. Yeah. So the AI went sentient, launched its own war, and basically covered up the skies. Weird movie. Probably hit different if you watched it again. From the 90s.
Oh,
first Matrix.
Gosh.
Pretty weird.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
But it's crazy. All this
another one tying about what you're talking about now. Compulsive phone use triples suicide risk in teens now. So the amount of time spent on phones and social media is trumped by compulsive, addictive use.
It is so addictive.
By the time children turn 10 right now, they may already be on the path that doubles or triples their risk of suicide. A new longitudinal study published in JAMA found that young people who compulsively use phones, video games, and social media face significantly higher risk of suicidal ideation and emotional distress by early adolescence. Children felt upset when separated from their phones, struggled to stop using apps, couldn't turn off screens. As a coping mechanism, were most likely to use screens compulsively, which predicted later mental health challenges. And that's what you see so many times now, where it's not even like people on emails or they're checking something on eBay or they're telling stuff on their platform. They're just sitting there scrolling mindlessly on every social media platform they have and opening the photos and stories and shorts and reels for hours on end. You'll see it sometimes with kids. This is what boggles my mind when I go to restaurants now, and it's gotten worse. You go and you'll see families, you'll see people, and everybody, every single person at the table is buried in their phone and nobody's talking. Saw it again the other day when I went to a restaurant. Walked in. Whole table's on their phone. And I'm like, I almost want to knock on the table and go, hey, is it my home? And I was like, oh gosh, they're probably going to call the cops on me for abusive or threatening behavior. I'm like, I'm not my problem, not my monkey, not my circus. But that's why I always tell people with the kids, do your best to extend that length of time. They're going to get exposed to screens at some point, but don't use them as a babysitting tool. I mean, Hunter and Kendall, they just now got their first school laptops, and they're extremely restrictive as far as on the platforms, on their computers, what they have access to at all. I mean, we want detail in it as far as what they're able to do. We can shut the doggone laptop off from any time we want with full control over it, but they have it for school, and there's a lot of stuff that it does save time with and having to have a whole bunch of information and books and stuff. So I get the reason why, but as far as these kids, the higher amount of screen time they use, the more they do it on a regular basis, it's causing severe mental issues. And then what happens? The kid's depressed. The parents take him to the doctor. Oh, they're having depression issues. You need to put them on Xanax. Oh, they put them on Xanax. Now they're zombies. They go, well, they can't focus on anything. Then the zombies say, oh, we got a remedy for that. We'll put them on Adderall. Put them on amphetamines. Yeah, benzodiazepines, amphetamines, perfect stack. We know how well that works for everybody. Then all of a sudden, the kid's more of a zombie, and they're more dissociative.
And more suicidal.
And more suicidal. Because now you start burning all the dopamine receptors up from all the amphetamines every day. Then they're like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me, Mom. All I want to do is sit on my phone and zone out. I can't get anything done. Well, let's take them to, oh, they need Paxil. They need an antidepressant. Why didn't we know this? So we'll keep them on the Xanax. We'll keep them on the Paxil. We'll keep them on the Adderall. That'll be a good stack for a 16-year-old. Seen it, watched it, heard about it, talked to the families. It's a real problem now.
It really is. Oh, by the way, here's a real problem. DOD to spend $3.5 billion in the emergency funds to replace the missiles fired to defend Israel to replace Israel's arsenal.
Oh, gosh.
This is a report.
I dropped that one.
A report of Bloomberg indicates that the U.S. Department of Defense plans to spend $3.5 billion in emergency funds to replace interceptor missiles used to defend Israel from Iran. These replenishment requests stem from costs incurred from 2023 onward as Americans' operations of defense of Israel. The requested interceptors are primarily THAAD and SM-3 missiles. The Department of Defense plans to acquire 37 more THAAD receptors, despite indications only 12 will be produced this year. Apparently, they're very difficult to produce. And this report's following the Israeli-American aggression against Iran, claimed that the U.S. spent $800 million on THAAD missiles. This was revised to $1.2 billion on 93 receptors fired and later updated to 150 receptors, totaling approximately $2.3 billion. Additional round, 80 SM-3 receptors were used, adding another $1 billion. The cost did not account for the SM-6 or Patriot missiles, if any were used. In total, the U.S. spent over $3 billion in June to defend Israel, not counting on the bombing of Fordo and Operation Midnight Hammer. Wow.
Hey, guys, but hey, don't worry. You're getting your wages garnished because you defaulted on your student loans at exceptionally high interest rate that you didn't realize when you signed when you were 19 years old. Remember that. Your wages are getting garnished, so you can buy more missiles for another country you don't live in. Thought you'd like that one. Remember, you got to do your part.
Could throw a greatest ally.
You know,
I thought I'd throw that in there.
No, the craziest part, you know, and you're right, bud. I mean, you know, it's like this stuff.
And I'm not justifying also. Some people made some stupid decisions with student loans.
Well,
but now you're garnishing wages, but yet we have billions to give back to another country.
You know what's funny? You know, there aren't that many shows that talk against student loans like we do. We talk about it all the time.
They're government backed, so you can't file Chapter 7 bankruptcy on them. You're stuck with them. Until when they go to, you know, 29% interest. and they start having fees on the interest and fees on the, all of a sudden you had a $20,000 loan you defaulted on 10 years ago. You now owe $80,000, and now they're garnishing your wages because they need more missiles for another country. I mean, it makes sense, guys. It's science. Don't argue with me about it. It's the science.
The reason my shot doesn't work is you didn't take your shot.
Your shot doesn't work because mine. Yeah, no, we're good on that.
It's science.
it's the way it is. Gosh, then, this is interesting now, too. The E, where'd it go? Federal judge rules anti-DEI director for schools is illegal. So we got this unbelievably federal judge in Maryland now struck down the U.S. Department of Education directive aiming at removing the DEI programs at schools and universities. They said essentially that Trump did not have the ability to do this, and essentially it's going to discriminate against certain kids in the school system. Remember, the DEI is the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion program that pretty much, in a lot of it, it tells you you should feel guilty for being white, or you should feel guilty for doing this, and everybody else needs to feel better than you because it's your job to basically... the whole concept behind it is moronic, the DEI program. So now there was supposed to be removed from the school system. The Department of Education did it. Now the judge is saying they cannot remove it. This, again, goes back into the platforms of this illegal and discriminatory treatment indoctrination in K-12 schools. It's insane, but this is the problem. We start getting these judges in these positions, man, that have so much pull, and they have an agenda to make sure they can do everything they want. And I saw this earlier, but I'm not surprised. I knew they weren't going to back down as far as with the these. Because remember, one of the biggest goals of the communist indoctrination programs, and we saw this when it came over from Russia, is you've got to control the schools. You've got to control what the children think. You've got to control what they learn. You've got to control how they act. You've got to control how they grow. If you can do that through the earliest, most important part of their life, K-12, you will pretty much indoctrinate an entire generation of good little communists that always follow the mantra that they're told to. That's why you have these people, they can't even have a legitimate argument. They just start screaming. You've seen that for years now. These interviews. Well, why do you hate Trump so much? Because he's a fascist.
Well, what's happened to be on an airplane?
What's the definition of a fascist? Yeah! How dare you ask me that?
Mm-hmm. I had it happen.
I asked the definition.
I was with Sharon. It was a Clemson. Yeah. It's Clemson cheerleader. She went berserk.
Can't even have a logical conversation. They just flip out.
Well, they don't have the ability to defend their position, so therefore they have to yell.
They scream, and then their purple and green hair is going sideways. They're all mad.
I remember I've seen that before. We were at Epcot years ago, and we were on a ride, and this girl walks up to me. You know, we had seven people with us, and she had five with her, four with her. I think she had five with her, and she basically tells me because we were laughing, she wanted us ejected from the park.
And then she said that I allegedly shoulder checked her when she tried to jump in front of me. And again, guys.
No, the police got dispatched because we were laughing on a ride.
I'm not advocating being physically aggressive with anyone, but if you're walking, if some big angry bull dyke walks in front of you, it stops in front of you and tells you you have to stop what you're doing, you handle that situation accordingly. You don't have the ability to stop it. You don't have the right to stop anybody from what they're doing, from traveling freely on their way.
We're going
to
change this. Abortion has wiped out 28% of Generation Z generation. Listen to this.
Jeez, that's horrible.
28%. According to Guttmeier estimates for the number of abortions performed each year in the U.S. from 1997 to 2011, the birth years of Generation Z, 19.5 million consumed human beings of that generation have been killed through abortion. There are currently an estimated 69 million in Generation Z. So that shows that approximately 28% of the entire generation was killed.
That's horrible, dude.
Yeah, that's why we're bringing all these immigrants from other countries, because we're extinguishing ourselves.
Well, the population, the growth rate in the United States would actually be going down.
Oh, it would be.
If we didn't have the massive immigration.
Well, because the problem is that, you know, we can't continue to feed the masses that are coming in. And they want more tax base from the masses that are coming in, and they want more workers from the masses that are coming in. And we, the people of the United States, have begun to realize that, you know, children cost money. You got to pay for kids. They're expensive.
And they eat a lot.
They eat a lot when they're growing. And so people are saying, well, let's just not have babies. And of course, the problem with this is the moral decline ties in right with the abortion rates.
Yeah.
Because people think, well, they're not human anyhow. They're not, you know, they're not born
yet. Well, they say for 18 years, the average child 0 to 18 costs the parent $386,000 per child.
That's about right.
0 to 18.
And that's not including college tuition.
We've got three kids, that's $1 million. You know, and that's not college tuition. That's a general basis from 0 to 18.
That's with a decent lifestyle.
Yeah, that's what it did. And that's not even crazy. That's just, I mean, we factor in food and diapers and all this stuff. So again,
B12. Get your B12 from us. Remember, I'm still here. You saw me take 10 of them, which, by the way, I don't recommend that you do. But I really don't feel any different from them. I feel great all the time anyhow. But remember, though, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you guys supporting Health Masters, we wouldn't be here bringing you these kind of crazy shows like today. Austin, you got something else to say?
Yeah, enjoy it, guys. Thank you for the support. Thank you for affording the show. Get it out there every single day. Sign up for the updates if you want. Put your name, email. Sign up for the Brewer Show or the Health Masters Report. I do both of them. Get your updates. Get your sales right to your email. And that way you can have this information on the go every single day. I appreciate you guys. Stay safe. We'll talk to you in on this show tomorrow as always.
Love you guys.